Well, it is that time of year. It is June. So either you're winding down the last couple days of your school year or your summer has officially started. But man, the season is right around the corner. College camps are back in full swing this past week. And here in Georgia, summer workouts start officially today. So what better time than now for a Monday morning drop of the Quarterback Q&A podcast. We welcome Coach David Morris of QB Country to the show. It is episode 4. Let's go. David Morris is the founder and CEO of QB Country, which currently has 13 locations throughout the U.S., developing quarterbacks at all levels from youth and high school through college and the NFL. David is truly one of the most well-respected coaches in the quarterback development space, and I know personally is one that I've watched from afar for several years and have always been impressed with the way he coaches the position and the product he puts on the field. I got to meet David finally for the first time this past spring at the Senior Bowl and was really excited to have him agree to jump on with us on the Quarterback Q&A podcast. We discussed David's early high school playing career in Alabama, his career at Ole Miss, and how his experiences there ignited his passion to further teach and develop the quarterback position. We talk about David's draft prep experience these past few months with both Alabama's Mac Jones and Stanford's Davis Mills. We dive deep into how he approaches quarterback development and some of the main things he focuses on and prioritizes in his training. And then, of course, we answer your questions in the Q&A. And you won't want to miss David tell the story of the glory days of being a fourth grade QB in the big game. All of this is coming up next. It is episode 4. David Morris of QB Country, welcome to the Quarterback Q&A podcast. All right, here we go. Episode 4 of the Quarterback Q&A podcast, and really excited to welcome on the CEO and founder of QB Country, Mr. David Morris. David, welcome.
Sean, how you doing, man? Excited to be here.
Doing great, doing great. When we started doing a podcast about quarterback development, you start putting together a list of who are the guys we have to have on right out of the gate, and you certainly were high on that list. So really appreciate you taking the time to do it.
Man, happy to do it. And I'm always excited to talk and kind of collaborate or think through things with guys in the niche. So it's all good, man. Sorry, I was hard to get a handle of.
You're good, man. You're busy. That's a good thing. So let's start with kind of take us through the background. Take us through your playing career, high school quarterback in Alabama, go to Ole Miss in college as a walk-on. Take me through kind of the early years of a quarterback from a playing standpoint, and then how it transitioned into you knowing you wanted to coach.
Yeah, it's cool. So I grew up in a big family. I have five brothers, excuse me, four brothers and a sister. So six kids. I was number four. So I had two older brothers. Dad didn't believe in TV, right? And so, all we ever did was play in the yard. And so, I had a couple of older brothers that were athletic, and they obviously, their friends were always around, and so I was always playing up. And honestly, I fell in love with the field in general, at a real young age, and just
Sure.
kind of became obsessed with this place, this venue, where I got to run around, and throw it and catch it and just kind of compete and have fun. And I feel like all my childhood, those moments where you're playing was on a football field, or in a front yard or a backyard or a field. And to this day, when I drive, when I'm just driving or I cross or I pass a field, it could even be a farm, right? And just
Sure.
green grass, man, I'm taken back to that moment that, or just my childhood and my first love and my first passion and where there was just so many incredible rich memories. And so, fast forward, went to McGill-Tulane Catholic High School here in Mobile. Always dreamed of being a quarterback there. And my brother was a quarterback there too. And just, you know, Friday nights were big deals, right? And so yeah, you know, played quarterback, was a 3-year starter there. You know, was had a really good career, broke all the records at that high school. But it was didn't really get highly recruited. You know, led the state of Alabama, passed in my junior year.
Sure.
You know, I'm an undersized guy. I was 6'6", 6 footer back then was hard. And that's why I love where the position's going now. But, you know,
Of
six
course.
foot, 185 pounds. And I was just an accurate anticipation guy. I wasn't, you know, a big arm guy. I had a, you know, some offers, but they were D2
Sure.
and FCS. And I was like, you know, I always wanted to play in the SEC. So it came down to Auburn or Ole Miss. Went to Ole Miss, earned the second string job there as a true freshman, playing a lot of games. Started one game, got whipped by Mississippi State. The final game of my true freshman year, and that ended up being the only game I ever started as, you know, true freshman walk on. I was a second string quarterback for 4 years, and so you know you kind of go from being the star to being, you know, a play away and really having to earn it, and you know, earned a scholarship after that first year,
Sure.
and incredible wealth of experience. But also, it was a little brokenhearted by the football experience because, you know, never quite achieved the dream or the goal that I wanted to be, you know, can be a starter. And but I also learned so much, and I wouldn't change it for anything. It, you know, was humbled. You know, you learn a lot when your heart's broken, right? And
Of
so,
course.
yeah. And so again, you know, the first love was football. First love was the field and playing this position. And so when I got out of Ole Miss, was coached by David Cutcliffe the majority of my career. Kurt Roper was our quarterback coach, and just incredible guys and men that I look up to, still talk to all the time.
Yeah.
And then Noel Mazzone was my true freshman year with Tuberville. You talk to those guys all the time. Coach Mazzone is just an incredible, you know, guy, and somebody I still, you know, connect with often. When I got out, I was kind of, you know, just over ball a little bit because I'd just been burnt. I felt like it a little bit, just like, you know, again, your dream didn't come true.
Yeah,
Incredible
of
experience,
course.
best friends in the world, but so and wouldn't change anything. But I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna get into business. So I got into real estate. It was a good time to get into real estate. It was 2003, and so the market was good.
Yeah, of course.
Deals were easy, and so ultimately, as I got further away from football, I just missed it. And so I started training quarterbacks on the side in 2005 or so, just here and there, just literally to get back on the field.
Yeah.
Fell in love with it, you know, and just you know, that was the beginning of where we are now. Sorry for the long-winded answer, but I feel like
No.
there's just a lot there. And it's something that I'm really, you know, proud of the story because, you know, it's one of those things that it was there's been kind of the high and the low of it, and then, you know, now you're coaching kids, you know, that may be, you know, whatever, first round draft picks. You're coaching guys that didn't get drafted. You're coaching, you know, third stringers at high on a high school level, and you're coaching the 5-star kid. And so, you know, I feel like my experience really helps me relate to all those guys.
No, I appreciate you going in depth. I mean, we always love finding out about, what is the driving force behind what you're doing now, where all that passion comes from. And we'll get into it a little bit later, but I know, your experience is what has led to kind of some of the important things that you focus on within your training to kind of make sure other athletes can get noticed more and can get the opportunities
Sure.
that they earn. So was there ever a point where, you talk about the great, quarterback development coaches you've been around and were lucky to play for. Was there ever a point where you wanted to do it at the college level and get into coaching from that aspect? Or was it always going to be kind of a private quarterback development space?
Yes, I didn't know. I just knew that I needed to be in football. So, you know, I dabbled, you know, coaching high school football actually at McGill, my former high school where I played. It was that place is such a big part of my life, you know, big Catholic family, you know, to be able to coach there, coach quarterbacks there. And, you know, I thought for a while that was it.
Yeah.
So the same time, so let's just call it, you know, 2008, 2009, I was doing real estate. I was training quarterbacks on the side. And then I was coaching at McGill, and I was like, God, dog, there's just a lot going on here. You know, what do I love the most out of all three of these things that I really, you know, was Yeah, I could have gone in any direction and been okay, but like if I had to leave one behind, the hardest one to leave behind would have been the quarterback training space. And the reason why is I'm a believer that each coach is kind of like a teacher. In the classroom in which you teach is the venue in which you can have the greatest impact. You know what I mean? So like for me, my classroom was this kind of independent training environment, you know, where the group is small. It's not a zoo. It's not the camp experience really. And then also you know, the high school experience was rich in my life, and it gave me so much. It blessed me. But the when I was coaching, I felt like I could better be myself in the independent space. Now, you know, again, that's my classroom. This is my classroom, and
Of
you know, other
course.
people's classroom is, you know, is a college coach or a high school coach, and their classroom is just as important. And so I, you know, for me, it was this thing where really soul searching. I read a great book. It's called Let Your Life Speak, and it's all about personal vocation. And I really believe this is my vocation, and everybody on our staff believes the same. And this is a lot more than football, a lot more than quarterback. This is a way that we get to give what we've been given back to kids that you know that need it and that want it. And so, you know, it's just bigger than football to us. We really believe that, you know, we can help, you know, build better men doing this.
Sure. Now you talked about your staff, and I wanted to go there. So talk to me about QB country as a whole, right? I think
Yeah.
it's very unique in what you've built here, you know, where I think you're in 13 locations now with coaches all over the country. How did it go from you doing what you do in a private training environment to the expansion to what it is now? Like, what was the
Yeah,
vision
yeah,
that you
yeah.
had? And then, you know, this is just my question is like, how did you ensure that you had the right coaches in place to
Yeah.
kind of carry on your brand and your vision?
Man, it's good stuff. Good questions. I never thought that, you know, we were going to have so many locations and this and that. It was never really my goal. I mean, my goal, honestly, Sean, was like, I want to get back to the field. I want to get back to this place that gave me so much that essentially, I mean, you know, blessed me, but also, you know, was heartbroken on that field, you know, in defeats and, you know, moments where it didn't quite work out the way I wanted or we wanted it as a team. And there was just these mountaintop experiences and incredible, you know, victories or whatever, you know, and then also just training. I mean, I was always eaten up with just training. And I mean, I would drive to fields by myself when I was in high school. You know, there wasn't anybody like me and you around, right? And so, you know, and literally I'd have a ball and I'd have a net or a tree, and I was out there by myself, and you know, literally for hours. And I mean, I did it all the time in high school and college. And so when I started, you know, when I started QB Country, I think I want to say kind of created th this is just kind of finished my 10th year full time, which is, you know, in interesting. It feels like it's been longer than that, and then it feels like it hadn't been that long. But so it was like, okay, I knew it was always bigger than David Morris, and that's why we kind of roll with the name. And I knew when I searched for months about a name, you know, I knew when, oh my gosh, QB Country, that's it. You know, like that moment was like unbelievable for me. So there is something there, right? Even our logo, you go back to the origin of it, the stars on the heart, because yeah, I was always a guy that thought I could, you know, outwork people, outhard them. I knew that was the most important attribute of David Morris, right? Like I wasn't the most talented, I wasn't the most, you know, gifted, I wasn't the biggest, but you know, I'd work out outwork guys. And so I was never, you know, ranked. I was never big scholarship offers. And I just, you know, but I knew that I had something that they couldn't, you know, what's the word? I guess they couldn't grade it. They couldn't weigh it, right? And I believe that, right? And that's not, you know, so this thing was really built on heart. And that's why the star is on the heart on the logo. And it's a one star for a reason, because I don't like the five star stuff. I don't like the elite language. I don't like all that. I believe that guys are quarterbacks are the best attributes they have can't be weighed, you know? And so
Okay.
anyway, that's that kind of where my heart is and where our
Yeah.
vision is. So when you get into the growth that we've experienced, you know, there's something to the country of it, right? The QB, the quarterback country. And I did think that there was potential to grow. I didn't know exactly what it would look like. And I remember after, heck, 2005, call it to 2011, it was just me, right, on the
Yeah,
field
sure.
and kind of whatever. I remember, I got called. I was thinking about expanding, and I got a call from someone in Jackson, Mississippi. We were training some kids, and they recommended a coach, Alex Williams, who's just an incredible guy. Kind of was like, oh wow, this could potentially work. I had a relationship with the guy who started D1 across the country, Will Bartholomew, and
Yeah, of course.
he really helped, kind of help me, with that first location, and then the second one as well, Ben Neal, in Birmingham. And Ben, I got a call from Travis Trickett, who was at OC at Samford at the time, just said, hey man, if you're trying to get up here, this is a guy. Ben
Yeah.
happens to be, the first guy I'd ever hire, is what Trickett said. And I was like, man, wow, I can't not listen to that. So at the time, we didn't have a clue how to expand. I was just like, these are great guys. We're training tons of people. We're driving here from Birmingham, from Jackson, Mississippi, from all across the, whatever, the Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, to be here. Like, why would we not try this? And I
Yeah.
didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue what I was doing at the time. Still learning a lot now. But the expansion of it all was always, it just wasn't important. And honestly, right now, it's not that important to me. We're going to announce a location today to Chattanooga.
Awesome.
We're
Congratulations.
about, yeah, thanks, man. Reese Phillips, who played at Kentucky and Montana, is going to run it for us. Incredible guy. Very similar story to Ben Neal. Had Max Drisco, who's the OC up at Catholic, and then Neil Brown, head coach of West Virginia,
Yeah,
said
of
this guy's
course.
in. So we're going to open up this location, but like we've turned down a lot of opportunities to open up locations just because we didn't feel like it was right, or we didn't want to rush it. I know there's value in waiting and being patient. I believe that, most powerful outcomes are delayed. And so like the growth thing has never been A1 to me, like, or the most important thing. Same token, like we're paying attention to people that really fit. And so
Yeah.
inside our staff, it's built of guys that have the same love of the field, that I had. The instant gratification thing doesn't work in this business. You know that. There's no quick way to get to where you want to get. It's really like, if you want to be good at this business, just get good at not going away, because that's the only way you're going to get what you think you deserve, is just sticking it out and working and working and working. And all these guys love kids. They love the ability to impact kids, and they think it's bigger than ball, and they do feel that personal vocation. So our staff is built by guys that just love football.
Yeah, and it's been remarkable, I think, to me from the outside looking in. Clearly, you've been able to expand, but keep a very high standard. And it's funny, some of the names that you've mentioned. I've come across Ben down in Birmingham a few times, and we've crossed paths.
Yeah,
And Charlie here in
Charlie
Atlanta,
Love.
and
Yeah, he sees you a good bit. Yep.
really, really good guys up in Charlotte there with Coach Boone, and everywhere you
Yeah.
go, people that are carrying on the QB Country name. They just seem to be doing things the right way. This is a industry that's, just taking over with us observing what others are doing sometimes, and
Sure, yeah.
and sometimes criticizing or un, you know and not understanding, and just from everything I've seen, it seems like everybody's really doing things at a high level, and you're taking that to so many different locations with such an expansion. Really impressive. So kudos to you, David, for continuing to kind of be able to build it, but do it so well.
Man, I appreciate it. It's hard. This is really hard work. This is really hard business. the niche is fascinating to me. We are in a position now to where we're, we believe in kind of the compounding effects of just sticking with it and doing things the right way. We do feel that now, but same token, like, this is, I tell all my coaches, like, hey, you don't want to work here unless you really, really want to work hard here, like, 'cause there's just no quick road to get what you want. Another quick little nugget. Malik Rozier has just opened Orlando. He was a captain and quarterback at Miami, and was a QB Country trainee since, 10th grade. And so he kind of knocked on my door, said, "Man, this is what I want to do." He's been on staff at Miami and Georgia the last 2 years in recruiting and kind of GA role. And the reason I bring that up is because we just kind of reopened that location, and it's just a neat kind of testament to, a kid that trained here and now wants to be a part of what we're growing. So something I'm really, kind of excited about and in a way humbled by.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you get guys that have bought in and believe in what you're doing and then, wanna give that to the next generation of quarterbacks, that's what it's all about, right? It's pretty
Yeah,
special to
no
see
doubt.
that thing grow and develop. All right. So one of the kind of themes running through this podcast that we've talked about is we've talked about guys that are in the pro day, the draft prep space. And certainly, you're one of the most sought after guys in that space. We talked to Will Hewlett a little bit about his working with Ian Book and talked to Quincy about Trey and Jamie Newman. And, I ran into you at the Senior Bowl and you were there kind of watching Mac Jones. And so talk to me a little bit about Mac specifically, what that draft prep experience was like, what stood out for you. And then, like, what are these things that people are just going to fall in love with when they see Mac as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, so draft prep is obviously a part of what we do, and something that we're always excited about every year. It's amazing how much the space has changed over the years. And remember the first guy I ever got was able to work with Matt Barkley
Oh, sure.
in Birmingham, and I just remember, I just was couldn't have been more excited. It's kind of a connection, but between same fellow I mentioned earlier, Will Bartholomew, who's really opened some doors for me. He was helping with some of his training while he was rehabbing a shoulder in Birmingham with Kevin Wilk, who's Dr. Andrews' top PT. So he was kind of rehabbing a shoulder. He ended up going down to IMG after that rehab process, but I was able to spend some time with Matt and just, couldn't have been, more excited and just thrilled to be, oh wow, I'm doing draft prep, and I guess at that point I'd been in the business for about 8 years, and I never was like, oh, I want to train high level guys. It wasn't my deal. My deal is like, I just want to train. Yeah, I just love it. So that was the first kind of draft prep, and then that followed up with AJ McCarron the next year, guy I've trained since ninth grade. I say all that to kind of say the space has changed a lot, as well as just the way we do it. We've learned a lot. Mac Jones this year, and then Davis Mills, who went to the Texans in the third
Of
round.
course.
We're both here, and just great, a great room, really competitive, really intelligent, really, I would say kind of. Room and just was just an awesome environment. Mac in particular, since you asked about him, I would just say that Mac is a guy that knows how to prepare, knows how to play quarterback, kind of believes in that, one play at a time, kind of believes in that, take what the defense gives you, then and eventually they'll give you the game. He's not some people call that kind of the operator or whatever, but he's a guy that knows how to find a completion. He's also a guy that is aggressive. He loves to know the why of everything he's doing, whether it be a concept, a play, or the schedule for the day. Just had an awesome time with him down in Mobile. I would say, what you're getting a pro in Mac. I mean, you're just getting a guy who's really mature, who's really, you know, understands the responsibility to play quarterback, understands the opportunity, understands how hard it is. And, you know, the way his story is fascinating because it's a story of perseverance and patience. And I mean, those two things take a ton of maturity. He comes from an incredible family. You know, the ability to just not transfer and to really believe in his ability and even trust that the timing is right and all this. Yeah. It just paid off, right? I mean, he's a total fit for what they got, you know, what they built there in New England. And I couldn't be more excited for him. You know, just I know he's going to take advantage of this opportunity. He does that. He understands opportunities. And he also understands that all opportunities aren't equal. You know what I mean? Like this is, you know, to be the starting quarterback at Alabama, it's a big deal to him. And he wasn't going to look back on that moment and say, I wish I would have done this a little better. Sure. I wish I would have prepared a little more. I mean, same thing. You know, he knows what this is, and he's not gonna let himself down. He won't let that organization down. So expect big things. Expect consistency. Expect a guy that looks like he's been in the league a couple years, and he'll have his, you know, his Sundays that are frustrating because it's hard. But this kid is sharp, man. He's really sharp, and I couldn't be more excited for him.
I love it. Expand on Davis Mills a little bit for me too. He was a kid then here in Georgia. Obviously, we know the story a little bit. We're following him all through high school and single A private program here in Georgia, kind of under the radar. I mean, it was a 5-star out of high school, but to the general public, you know, maybe a guy that people don't know as much about in his career at Stanford. Tell me some things that jumped out about Davis.
Geez, I love that kid. Just a competitor. He is real balanced. He's real low key. In that sense, like the low key thing, kind of like nothing's ever a big deal, whether it be tragic or mountaintop. He's just kind of like, okay, cool. You know, like whatever. You know, in that sense, he reminds me of Eli Manning, and he's got some of that. You know, like in his pro days, a great example. It was pouring down rain, 52 degrees. You know, up at Stanford, and he never looked down at his hand like, gosh, Donovan, they're wet. You know, like everybody knows that. Like he didn't ask for towels. He didn't say, hey, can we break until, you know, the rain stops a little. He didn't let that environment that was a little bit, you know, it was not ideal. Maybe the least ideal pro day in the whole dang circuit.
No doubt.
And he just went out there and absolutely crushed it. And look, it's a throwing workout. You're supposed to crush those things. But
yeah.
That's a big day. You know, I mean, in those things, I've seen incredible ones and I've seen ones that didn't go that well. I think what he did is he just reminded people at that pro day how talented he is. He is talented. He's an intelligent kid. You know, Stanford, it's not easy to get in there.
Of course.
You know, and in that sense, you know, the room here in Mobile with him and Mac was awesome. Just two incredibly well-coached kids. Well-rounded. Davis comes from an incredible family too. But just, you know, the environment was just like, hey, let's learn, let's get better, let's dig deep. Let's break down details. And so, yeah, I mean, I think what Houston gets in Davis is, you know, is similar to Mac. He's a pro. Like he gets it. He's a mature kid. He's always dreamed of this. And he, you know, I'll tell you this about Davis, if you said who's the top guy in this class, like that just got drafted, he'll say he is.
Yeah.
And he believes it. He thinks he's the best guy in the class.
Yeah.
I think that says something. He's not afraid to say that. You know, we'd be sitting in a room with Mag and doing mock interviews.
Of course.
One of the questions is, hey, you know, so, you know, why now? Why you come out now? You know, you got all these guys and you got one sitting across from you at this table, you know, like if you stay, Davis, you may be, you know, top three quarterback in the draft next year, first rounder potentially. And he's like, I mean, I think I'm the best guy in the draft this year, you know, and it's a mock interview question. I'm looking over at Mac and he's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, just that's who Davis is. He really believes that. And, you know, he's a starter in the league down the road for sure. And,
no doubt.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, just how everything happens and what happens there. But I'm excited for him.
Yeah. I think we all are. you just can't help but have a lot of respect for. They you know, just observing, seem to always do things the right way and fight through their different levels of adversity, you know, with injury with Davis and just having to kind of wait through the process with Mac and but always excel at a high level. So no, excited to see that those NFL careers begin here in the next year. All right. So whether you're working with, you know, the top of the top NFL guys or college athlete or the high school quarterbacks that you work with, let's talk a little bit about your specific like methodology of training. Like, what do you focus on the most? What do you think is the most important aspect for a quarterback? Maybe one thing that you think you do better than anyone else, in just in the way you train and develop a specific piece of a quarterback's development.
Yeah, I mean, so when we build script, we build program, it's really based on building something that's holistic. So from a training standpoint, we really believe that, you know, obviously initially there's just foundations, right? There's feet, there's footwork foundations and understanding. There's sequence and movement pattern, sequence and understanding. There's above the neck, you know, understanding of is simple things like, you know, how's the flat defended, you know, outside in or inside out, you know, is essentially like, you know, do guys understand concepts and why they're built? You know, obviously you get into defense, you get into protection, there's all these things you can't, there's only so far you can go, you know, with some of these levels of guys, but we really believe in kind of training the whole quarterback, you know, above the neck. And then, you know, obviously when you're talking about the stroke or the motion, it's something we really believe that we can help and we can enhance and we can make it more sound. So, you know, there's a big fundamental foundational thing that we do and really believe that it's important to hit for any and every session. You know, I'm a believer that, you know, we got NFL starters that will tell you that, you know, their feet they just feel like their feet can be better. So I'm a believer. David Cutcliffe, you know, instilled in me just how important your feet were. And I remember just being coached by him that first year, you know, right. He left, I guess Peyton was the first pick of the draft. And then he had that year with T Martin and they won the national championship. And then he was there with me. So T Martin's from Mobile, you know, always was like, oh my gosh, that's the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just the man in high school. And then, you know, Peyton Manning to me was the best college quarterback that's ever played, at least that I'd ever seen. And to me, it wasn't close. Well, here comes David Cutcliffe in there and he's coaching me. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like just was like, I really felt like I was like at the mountaintop of quarterback, you know,
yeah.
Like coaches. And I was just blessed. And man, I was just blown away, light bulbs going off, everything, you know, like in an hour meeting, my head was blown like 50 times, you know, and it went like that for months and years even. And so the foundation of what we teach, it kind of comes back to what Coach Cut taught me, Coach Roper. And it's just, you know, if your feet aren't on time, if your feet aren't tied to concept, to progression, then you're going to be a mess. There's just no chance. So we built our script really with an emphasis on, you know, active dynamic warm up, the lower half, upper half, and upper half has a lot to do with activation and arm care.
Okay.
You know, we believe in footwork in a big way. We hit it every session, usually for 10 minutes. And then, you know, our warm up is extended because we feel like in a warm up, I believe that you're either building great habit or you know, being intentional, or you're just throwing it for the heck of it. And I just think that there's moments there where you can steal reps and become a better passer. And so, you know, and then, you know, obviously the way we train after that is, you know, we get into drill work and then we, you know, we get into routes on air and with a breakdown where everybody around that circle has a moment to speak. And then, you know, meaning like, hey, what did you learn? What did you crush today? What'd you struggle with? It's a moment of vulnerability. It's a moment of, you know, command of leadership. It's a moment of, you know, where everybody's equal and, you know, it's an important space for us. And we pray. And so we pray and give thanks and we leave from a structure standpoint, we believe that, you know, walkthrough reps are just as important as, or maybe more important than, you know, full speed reps. So we believe in the walkthrough rep where you can understand, you know, the transition of a drop, where you can understand, you know, the motion and the transition of energy, you know, forward or whatever. We believe in the ideal rep. We believe in the contested rep. We believe in the worst case scenario rep. And so all these things are how we build sessions. Our sessions, you know, you'll get a little bit of every throw. Meaning you're going to get a touch. You're going to get touch. You're going to work on fastballs. You're going to work on off platform. You're going to work on ideal pocket. You're going to work on the run. You're going to work on, you know, sprint outs. You're going to work on all these things. And, you know, you only have so much time, but we get a lot done. I don't feel like we rush from one thing to another. If you're saying, like, what do we do real well?
Yeah.
Man, we tell people the truth.
Yeah. So important.
Yeah, we don't BS anybody, whether it be a college coach, a high school coach, a family, a dad, a kid. I believe in the truth. I believe there's a responsibility there. I believe that, you know, we have a responsibility to, if we're touching all these kids from all over, well, it's our responsibility to help grow them up and to challenge them and to hold them responsible. I think that we love our kids. Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, I'm not saying we love our kids more than everybody else, but
yeah, sure.
And but you know, because I know you love your kids too. But like we truly do. Each kid's important to me, to our us, to our staff, and we believe in that you know, the opportunity we have for them every hour that we get them is not just like, you know, there's a lot of things that it's not. It's not just a session. It's not just, you know, some kid who's paying us. It's really an opportunity to give that kid more than what he thought he was going to get. And I believe that we're doing that. And I do believe that, that our families will tell you that they trust us. You know, I know we've made mistakes along the way, but we love our kids and they love us. And, you know, there's something real special there. So I couldn't be more excited about what we do. We're learning a lot, man. I love doing young groups, you know, youth groups, middle school groups, because it slows down. And so my eye can catch things easier. Right. So I love the middle school group as much as I love, you know, training NFL starters. And because I feel like that's where it all started. I was that kid once. C, it's making me a better coach. And you know, really, that's our model. Our model is we're starting them young and we're going to keep them and we're going to coach them and we're going to love them. And you know, some will play on Sundays and some will just, you know, won't even make it to college and won't even be the starter in high school, but they'll always, you know, they were treated the same way here. And there's no room for ego. There's no room here for people that think they're better than other people. You know, there's an equal playing field, and I believe that it's a huge foundation on what we're building. And so in that sense, my experience as a second stringer was so valuable to me because I can coach that kid and I can give him encouragement and hope, and I can help him understand that, you know, hey, you know, what you're doing, what you're learning, what you're giving is just as important as that guy who's getting all the attention. And in fact, in some ways, what you're doing, that backup kid, is more impressive because it's less about him. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so, like, we learn a lot from the backup. I love coaching second and third stringers because I know what it feels like. And that's what we're building, man. That's kind of who we are.
I love it. And I think it, you know, I think it definitely is unique to the industry of, you know, the love that you pour into every guy you train. Like I said, I know QB country from the outside in, and as I'm starting to hear you describe the things that are important to you and what you guys value, it's easy to see why you have the reputation that you have kind of across the industry. You know, because it's so interesting to talk to other coaches in this space, and we have all these typical conversations. And, you know, I had one recently over the last week about how some guys are more like transactional coaches, right? Not that they're necessarily just in it for the money, but kind of like, you know, their relationship with the kid they train is truly transactional versus the guys that are trying to pour in, you know, their time and energy and belief and love into helping that quarterback in whatever way they need and make sure they're there for him throughout the entire process. Like you said, sure. Whether it's, you know, hey, this is fun because he's in the NFL and look at me, I train this guy, or, you know, it's that 10-year-old, 11, 12 that, you know, maybe has a shot to, you know, make the team, that type of thing.
Yeah, and, right.
You know, it's cool right. to hear you talk passionately about that.
Well, it's like, end of the day, like, whose life is more important? And the answer is neither or both, right?
Yeah, it's sure,
like
sure.
Both those kids are just as important. Both those kids, you may have a long time with them. You may have a short period of time with them. So who's more important? And like, you know what? Both of them are just as important. And we really believe in that. And, you know, and honestly, you know, just to be honest, like sometimes I got that is who I come, you know, kind of the type person that my mom and dad is. And I do have to remind myself that sometimes because you do get distracted or, you know, you get, you know, whatever, you see things in a different way and you got to say, wait a second now, you know, I have to remind myself that's not what we built here. And yeah. Again, it kind of comes back to the heart of it all. And so what we're trying to build is, something that's real and that is something that anyone who comes here kind of feels that spirit of work, gratitude, give and take, and even like, sometimes maybe even this moment of clarity or whatever, you know, we just believe that our time is valuable because we just don't know how long we got, you know, not to get
sure,
deep, but like, I really believe that, you know, so like any given weekend, you know, I just feel like it's an opportunity to just kind of leave it all on the field and give those kids, you know, everything I got. And, you know, in return, I get that from them. That's kind of a special give and take.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, well, it is the quarterback Q&A podcast, so we have to get into some Q&A. Obviously, we opened it up and got some questions, kind of the audience out there, and we got some cool ones. You know, some ones from just kind of a couple different quarterbacks and then one from a parent. I always love the opportunity to be able to talk and help out the parents as well in what we're doing here. But so first question I picked out specifically for you, you know, you've obviously been around quite a bit here in the last 10 years is through this journey and all the quarterbacks you've worked with as well as your own playing career. But one of our quarterbacks want to know, what was your specific like favorite football experience, either as a player or as a coach? What was something that just you'll never forget? It was the top thing from a football standpoint that you've got to be around.
Man, that's a great question. I feel like I'm rich in football experience. I'm not rich in my bank account, but I do have tons of rich football experience. I would just say there's just too many to count, man.
I
think back to my childhood, you know, there was an amazing moment where in the fourth grade, and I was a quarterback, and we were slinging it around. It was pretty incredible. Again, playing up was always good for me. But no, there was a moment. 3 seconds on the clock, we're on the 20-yard line, and it's silly. This is fourth grade, but you know, this is the Toy Bowl. This is the big. It's where they play the Senior Bowl at Ladd Stadium. Now CYO League, Catholic Youth Organization. And so there's just this moment, it's 3 seconds left. We're playing the All-Stars. We were the champs. So I drop back to throw it, you know, they bring the house, you know, it's for whatever reason, you know, didn't have any time. The buzzer goes off. Right. So the game's over after this play and I scramble around, you know, make a lot of people miss, dive in, like somebody's hanging on my leg. I dive in, I get hit as I'm, you know, across the goal line. And, you know, like the film of it all, like feels like this incredible movie scene. Cause there's just tons of drama. I mean,
sure.
The seniors are playing after us, you know, and again, it kind of takes you back to the love of the field, the game. There's just too many to count. I mean, that's one that I'll never forget. I mean, there's so many in high, so many in college. I mean, to play behind a guy like Eli Manning, to experience those Super Bowls with him, and just to know the type of guy he is and what I've learned from him. You know, there's just so many, but there's nothing like that game winner. You know, as the clock expires, and is the funny thing about that story, Sean, is
yeah,
there was like three or four players on the All-Stars that were jumping up and down because they heard the buzzer. I'm like, I'll see you, brother. I'm gonna go score and beat y'all's ass. You know, and it was just this incredible moment, but just kind of funny.
That's so cool. I love it.
I'm gonna have to find that clip. I'm gonna have to find that clip and send it. Yeah,
we need it. We need it. No, I love it because, like, you know, setting records in high school. You know, starting as a true freshman, walk on the Ole Miss. Like all these moments. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, with all the quarterbacks you've been with along their journey, it's cool. The fourth grade is the big standout experience. I love it so much. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, you
know?
It's incredible, of course. And like you said, it's where that love for the game started. And those are the memories that stick with you and really drive everything else you're doing now. So really cool. Yeah. All right. So a specific kind of mechanic question. We got a quarterback, get these all the time on the Q&A. Just wants help with what he's doing. And he's asking about how he can throw a better spiral, just having some inconsistency with his ball flight. What are a couple things, David, that if you have a quarterback who is a little inconsistent with ball flight, what should they be focusing on just to get more consistent spiral out of their hand?
Yeah, great question. I mean, the first thing I always do is look at the grip.
Yep.
You know, where is the thumb in relationship to the birdie finger on the ball, right? Like, you know, Kurt Roper kind of taught me something back in the day. He said, hey, look down at your hand. I said, all right. So the birdie finger should kind of make straight line with that thumb, you know, as it relates to the way it sits on the ball. And, you know, I look at my grip, I'm like, oh, okay, it's a straight line. I'm like, okay, that's part of the reason you spin it well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So I always look down at the grip. Is that thumb kind of making a C or a horseshoe? If it is, there's no thumb authority or hand authority, so we'll stretch that thumb a little. When you do stretch the thumb, lots of time what ends up happening is the back of the palm comes up a little bit off the ball. You know, there's that space you're kind
of
hunting.
Of course.
Let it be. Yeah, kind of let there be. You know, where you're not really palming it. The second thing I'll do is just look at what's happening with his wrist. You know, like at release point, is it a pronation thing? Is it is it kind of that free throw shot looking wrist snap?
Yeah.
Is it that baseball funky throwing a curveball type thing? You know, and so you can learn a lot about a thrower from just looking at his release and what happens, you know, after the release. And, you know, I believe that guys that throw great spirals understand or at least have an innate ability to involve their fingers and wrist. And so I think fingers and wrist have a lot to do with a ball spin. Obviously, there's sequence. There's some stuff here and, you know, in the pattern that would encourage it. I do think that, you know, there should be extension of the arm, right, you know, right as that ball comes out of your hand. So that's going to help that ball spin. There's a lot.
Of course.
And that's a big question, but I would say look down at your grip, look at the thumb, you know, how does it relate to the birdie finger? And then I would always say lay on your back and, you know, kind of toss it up and down to yourself. You'll learn a lot about, does the kid have touch?
Yeah.
Does he snap his wrist? Are his fingers involved? I think it's a natural way to enhance a spiral. Just laying on your back, throwing it to yourself up and down. And you'll learn, can he place it? Can he put it back in his hand? If he can, he's got good touch, and he's probably pretty accurate with his wrist and fingers. Yeah. You know, he knows how to use them. If he can't, usually that guy's not that accurate. It's interesting. So it's kind of a little drill that I'll do occasionally. And in fact, we do it a lot, encourage people to do it a lot, because we feel like it enhances, you know, the ability for a thrower to kind of understand the topography of a football.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And like anything else, especially in the throwing motion, it's like the less you have to think about it, the more you can develop something that's going to happen naturally for you.
There you go.
There's the results you want. So if he can just grip the ball the same way every time without thinking about it, and maybe that's a little bit of an adjustment that he needs to make. And then he just focuses on finishing through. And like you said, creating that natural wrist snap and fingers and the extension of the throw. You know, just like anything else, if you want repeatable results, then do it the same way every time. And, you know, I think spiral is a big piece of it. All right.
Yeah,
so here's
no doubt.
Here's a question from the parents that we got. And I know this Hicks home with you, because I know one of the big focuses, based on your own experience, is just kind of that the recruiting process and kind of how we can set kids up for success there. And that's the question from a parent of a freshman in high school quarterback. What are the top maybe two things he should be focusing on as he tries to help his son through this recruiting journey? You know, is it yeah. camps he's got to go to? Is it, you know, his development? Is he need to be, yeah. you yeah. know, what's he need to be
so,
doing?
So
to,
this
to,
is the,
yeah, go ahead.
The father of a freshman.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd tell him to get out of the way. I'd tell that dad to let his kid, you know, play quarterback. I'd tell that dad to be late to pick him up from practice. I'd tell that dad to don't talk about recruiting. It's stupid right now. I'd tell that dad to, you know, when he gets home from practice or training, like, don't even ask him. Let him bring it up. When it relates to recruiting, what I would say is win the job. And then yep. let's talk. Yep. Get some film, and then let's talk. We've turned down thousands of quarterbacks on our recruiting deal because they're not ready to be recruited. So why yeah. would we say, yeah, let's get you recruited? Like, the product's bad right now. let's get you better, and then you're recruitable, right? And so
yeah,
so you know that's what we say. We say, hey, you're not ready. Now, we have a lot of guys offers as freshmen.
Sure.
You know, and we've got guys that, you know, that are incredible and off the charts. Honestly, we over the years, we've tried to hide those guys. We've tried to delay the recruitment of those guys because we don't think it's necessarily real healthy at that young age. Now, I mean, there's some kids that they show up and they're better than the guys that have offers that are juniors. You know what I mean? And,
yes.
and they're at a camp and it's just like, hey, yeah, you can't hide that kid. And so,
of course.
You know, it's like, you know, you got these kids, you know, that are just incredible. And we had a kid, Drew Pine, who's competing yeah. for the job next year at Notre Dame, who won a state championship as a freshman. You know, and he just, you know, the kid was unbelievable. I mean, he's unbelievable. So it's like yeah. you show up at Alabama and he's as good or better than the guy that got committed, you know, who's going to be a junior or senior or whatever. It's like they're going to offer that kid and there's no hiding them. So I mean, I think
Absolutely.
There's part of that. And
yeah.
there's something to that. I do think, again, powerful results are delayed. And I believe that the recruiting thing has to be about timing.
No, I love it. You know, it's one of the things that Will Hewlett echoed too about just, hey, at that age, just focus on your development. To your point, like, be ready when you are being recruited that, you know, what people are seeing is what you want them to see, right?
Yeah.
And just be
yeah,
ready for
right.
that moment. All right, last thing, David, I'm going to let you go. Once again, appreciate your time. It's been really cool, really insightful, kind of hearing a little bit more about your story and what you guys focus on. But we're trying to leave quarterbacks and coaches with drills that can be helpful for them, things they can replicate in their own training, their own development. So give me a drill that maybe is a go-to for you, one that you've used a ton lately, one that you think is really vital and can help quarterbacks and coaches with the guys that they work with.
Yeah, cool. So we'll go with a drill we call flip.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you pay attention to what we're doing at QB Country, you see flip drill a lot. There's different variations. There's different progressions of it. From a basic standpoint, though, flip is when a quarterback could just be facing his, you know, the guy he's throwing to, whether it be the receiver or the other quarterback in a warm-up. He'll simply flip his feet and throw the football, right? It sounds basic, but there's literally probably 10 mechanical cues there. And we believe, you know, mechanics should not be like an overboard of, you know, heavy information.
Sure.
Or tell, you know, teaching them how smart we are about biomechanics and all that sounds good and all, but like, how do you apply this and make motions more clean and more on time? And so flip, we believe that mechanical instruction should be implemented through drill work. And then there's understanding and language that helps people understand what's being accomplished. So what happens in flip is the base is good, right? So the base is a good, strong base. There's leg bend. There's the hip height is good. The posture is good. When the quarterback flips, the base doesn't change. The hip height doesn't change. The posture doesn't change. The eyes and head don't move. And all he'll do is essentially, you know, hit that back foot, so the rotation on the flip encourages a good load on the back leg.
Love it.
Again, there's part of the beginning of the sequence. And then as he goes to throw, you know, last time that momentum is still back, right? And so we believe that it's a great encourager of sound pattern. We believe that there's a lot of body control, you know, enhancers or kind of encouragers there. And then ultimately, you know, what we're teaching is, you know, we'll throw it with good posture. We won't lean forward. We won't lean sideways. Again, our head won't move. And ultimately, you know, kind of pre-throw to during the throw to post-throw, that head stays still. So there's kind of that thing that's just teaching good head control. You know, we'll say, hey, leave that back toe to kind of help you stay grounded, keep posture good.
Yep.
Create a natural deceleration, you know, aspect to it. And then we'll build from there. You know, we go flip reset. We go, you know, flip and flip reset. Flip. We got flip and shift away. I mean, there's just like literally 10 different variations, and you can get into routes with it too. Pat and go, all of it. So yeah, I just love it from a fundamental standpoint. Again, we think it's a sequencing thing. Yep. We also think that it's, you know, one of these things that instead of trying to teach a kid about mechanics, like give them a great drill, and then all of a sudden you're starting to see, you know, motions get cleaner and cleaner. So one of those things that I just really, really believe in kind of fundamentally.
I love it. Like you said, just informing the feel. Like when you talked about, hey, this is what it feels like to have to load into your back leg off that hip flip. Oh, you know, right? Because yep. Trying to explain that or trying to teach it, you know, right. Is sometimes a little over technical. Right. But no, I love it. And it's because, you know, once you get a kid who feels comfortable with consistent throwing motion from a stationary, you know, on platform base, well, then now if we can add these quick movements prior to the throw, and then have that quarterback continue to stay consistent with his motion, like you said, staying vertical, you know, not falling, tilting or falling off to the side, maybe keeping his back foot connected, whatever the focus points are.
Sure.
You know, one of the things I talk about a ton is don't let anything happens before the throw affect the throw, right? Like, so sure. That quick flip shouldn't change the way you throw. And then I like the way you talked about building off of it and continuing to add, you know, a little bit more. Right. And,
sure.
And I think this is where that true development comes from. Right. We we got something the quarterback feels good about, and now let's add more layers. And can he stay consistent? Is that kind of the way you approach it?
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is like, hey, you ask questions there. Okay. So like, what are we trying to accomplish when we're doing flip? Like what is the deal here? They'll tell you. And then you'll do flip for twitch. How quick can you get out of your hand when you flip? Right.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, do you understand it well enough to understand what we're trying to, you know, work on here, you know, when we're going for twitch versus like for rhythm or even for like a load and squeeze, like hesitate before you throw, right? And then, you know, and then you're doing it with a hitch after the flip. So what it's teaching is, well, what it gives us is an opportunity to make sure they understand what we're accomplishing. You know, there's the sensation of, hey, you know, feel it. And then, you know, kind of, you know, have the ability to do it, but then also, can you see it when you hear it, do you get it? You know what I mean? Like, so like,
sure.
You know, kind of hear it, see it, feel it, do it, you know, and I think all those things and sensations are like a part of a kid really growing and understanding and even having the ability to learn and get better. And so, yeah, it's a foundational thing for us and, something that we, you know, believe is a big part of, you know, just helping a kid understand some of the mechanical foundations.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I think as we strive to make guys better, you know, keeping things simple and understandable. And, you know, here's a great example of a, you know, a fairly simple setup of a drill, but, you know, creates so much value in helping a quarterback feel what we're trying to accomplish here. I love it. I can't wait. Like I said, we'll add some video to this audio and put it in full perspective for guys. Yeah, no, I appreciate David. So, all right, man, I'm going to let you go. We took up an hour of your time. Thanks again for being willing to do this, man. I know you helped the audience quite a bit. It was very interesting for me to just learn more about what you're doing. So really cool. It's qbcountry.com is the website. David's based out of Mobile and kind of covers that Alabama area, but you'll see all the locations throughout the country. You heard it here first, maybe Chattanooga, the new location here for guys in Tennessee. You can find that as well on the website. So wherever you're trying to find a QB country coach near you. And it's also at QB Country on Twitter and Instagram. And you can kind of follow along with everything David and the whole crew is doing there. Anything I missed, David?
No, man, I think you're good to go. By the way, I had a good talk with Quincy the last couple of days. I know he'll be filling you in on a couple of things we were talking about. So,
no doubt, I was talking with.
Sounds like he's hitting that ball pretty straight right now, and has he has the good life, man. He's hitting 36 holes like 3 times a week, man. I love it.
Don't throw that out there, because his head's big enough about his golf game, and he thinks he's, you know, he thinks somebody else is talking about it. He's going to get even more cocky. But no, it's so funny. I was just with Justin Hoover. You know, Justin works there in Kansas City, and we were talking about you as well. And I know you got some things in the pipeline here. So, like I said, it's been really fun to collaborate with guys I really respect. And David, appreciate you as well, of course, in that. So, all right, man, I'll let you go. Sure. Thank you so much. Hey, we'll talk soon.
Keep up the good work. Talk soon. See you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Bye. All right, there it is. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Big thanks to David again from QB Country for jumping on. Go check out QB Country in your area. A lot of coaches around the nation doing things at a very, very high level. You guys know what to do now. Go out, tell people about the podcast, share the podcast on social media. If you haven't yet, and why haven't you yet, but leave your 5-star rating. Leave a review on wherever you listen to the podcast. I really appreciate it. I promise I won't go long this time. But thank you for everyone. Somehow we've gotten well over 2,500 listens to each of the first 3 episodes. So you guys have just gone above and beyond. Please continue to share it. Let's keep making this thing bigger. I'm really enjoying doing it. Hope you guys are enjoying listening to it. Thanks again. Until next time. Appreciate you.